Get your Bible and first turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Now, in this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, this is really talking about Jesus. And we're just going to look at a couple of verses primarily, because this is the passage where it talks about, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, by his stripes we are healed," etc. But in this chapter, what I'd like you to do is jump on down to verse 11. And it says, "He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Now, the last part of this is what I kind of want to draw your attention to, where it says that he made intercession for the transgressors. Now, let's just kind of paint a really quick image of this. Here's Jesus, and it says that he made intercession for the transgressors. So let's just call transgressors people that aren't born again, lost people. And so, if you will, remember when Jesus was in the garden, he was praying. You know, it said that his sweat became as drops of blood. And then in John chapter 17, it talks about how Jesus was in prayer. Well, if we use that imagery, think of Jesus on his knees praying for you. And let's just imagine that in the garden before he was arrested as he was praying, let's just imagine that time stood still. And he went through and, like by a miracle, the Holy Spirit began giving to Jesus the names of every human being that would ever be born from that point on. You know, billions of people. And let's say that as time stood still for that period, that he literally named every single person and called their name out before God. He says, "You know, oh Father, I pray for Judy Newman, and I pray for Grace Eyes, or I pray for Craig Nelson, and I pray for..." And he's going, you know, I mean, every single human. Now, we know he didn't do that literally, but to imagine this, in light of what it says here, he made intercession for the transgressors. So think in terms of Jesus interceding for you while you were lost, calling your name out to the Father. Now, we know from another passage in the New Testament, it says that it's not God's will for any to perish. It's His will for everybody to come to repentance. So that's the Father's will for you. Well, it was His will for you. You know, when you were lost, He wanted you to come to Jesus. You know, repent, come to Jesus, be born again. So let's imagine Jesus is interceding for you. Now, at the time that Jesus was praying, there was nobody else who could pray for you as far as salvation is concerned. You know what I'm saying? As far as being born again. Because there was nobody else that had the life of the Father on the inside. Now, later, after Jesus rose from the dead and people were born again, then others could have interceded for you from that position. But at the time that Jesus was praying, there was nobody else. He was it. So at that moment, Jesus was the only person who had the life of the Father on the inside of him. And he was making intercession for transgressors. And using this scenario, you were one of those transgressors. So he made intercession for you. He was praying for you. Now, what I want you to do at this point is turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look in verse... let's see here. Let's look in verse 49. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now, if we just look at the 49th and 50th verse, Jesus is saying, I don't speak just any old thing that I feel like speaking. He says, the Father, he's the one who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Not only that, but I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Well, Jesus is saying, I have a commandment from the Father what to speak. But not only that, I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Well, we would not be incorrect to say that his will is life everlasting, is it not? I mean, John 3:16 pretty well bears that out. So his will is life everlasting for everyone that we could call a transgressor. But he said, his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know what the will of the Father is. The will of the Father is life everlasting. Primarily, and first and foremost, it's spiritual life. Life everlasting. Well, since I know that that's what his commandment or will is, when I speak, I'm speaking in line with his will or his commandment. Well, if the Father's will / commandment is life everlasting, that means that when Jesus receives from the Father what to speak, that what he speaks is going to be connected with life everlasting. And it's not just a matter of life everlasting as far as your spirit is concerned, but it has to do with other areas of your life. If you think in terms of the kinds of things that Jesus said from where you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you think in terms of things that Jesus said and what he spoke, he was speaking life into the lives of other people. Well, for example, the healing. Remember when folks would want to be healed and he would minister to them? At times he said, you know, be it unto you according to your faith, or go, your servant is healed, or go, your daughter is healed, or something like that. When you think of that, and really even from the perspective of when the leaders, religious leaders, confronted Peter, and they said, well, hey, now what's the deal here, Peter? I mean, doesn't your master pay taxes? And Peter said, well, yeah, I mean, he'll pay the tribute, the temple tax. He'll pay that. It's not a problem. And Jesus called Peter aside, and he said, now, Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down, cast in your line. First fish you catch, open its mouth, and take out the money and pay the tax for you and for me. Peter went and he did that, all right? So, in that case, they didn't have the money to pay this. So Jesus spoke life into that situation, so they went from no tax money to tax money. And it came about in a way that's really kind of bizarre, you know, a fish's mouth. But nevertheless, he spoke life into that situation, and it changed those circumstances, and Peter was able to pay those taxes. So when Jesus makes this statement that what I'm speaking, I'm not just speaking something to be saying something. What I'm telling you, what I'm speaking, what I'm saying to you is directly connected with the will of the Father, which is life everlasting, or let's think of it another way. Life into every dead circumstance in your life. Life into everything that seems dead. Now, let's just kind of sidestep just for a moment. If you're looking for a job and the job search seems to be dead in the water, you could speak life to the job search. Okay? Now, just one example, we could give many, but I think that's enough to maybe get the wheels turning on the inside. And so Jesus says, I've come to speak the will of the Father. Now this is important to kind of imagine this. The Father's in heaven, Jesus is on earth. Father is in heaven, but Jesus is on earth. Now, the Father wants his will delivered into the lives of people. But he's in heaven. Well, what's he going to do? I mean, if he wants his will delivered into the lives of the people, he's got to find a way to do it. So he sends his son down, and he decides one day, I want my son to tell people some things. See, now where is he? Oh, there he is. Son, Come here. Now I want you to see just what happened. The son separated himself from everybody else to get into the presence of the Father, to receive from the Father what the Father wanted delivered to the people. Is that good?
That is good.
And so the Father says, "Now, son, these people need to know some things, but I'm here, you're there, they are there. I need you to do something for me. I want you to tell them that you have been sent by me to open the eyes of the blind and to cast out devils. Now, son, go tell them that.
I have been sent by the Father to open the eyes of the blind and to cast out devils."
And there's something else, son. Come back. Now, son, I'm going to work through you to set people free. Now, I want you to go and I want you to tell them that whom you set free is free indeed.
Whoever I set free is free indeed.
Okay, son, you can sit down. Now, did you see how that worked? He's a good, obedient son. Hallelujah. So the Father's in heaven. He can't do this. But the Son's here on earth. And the Son's smart enough to get alone with the Father, to hear from the Father what the Son is supposed to go and tell the people. And in the Bible it tells us that the Son only spoke what he got from the Father. So he didn't go out and just say, "Well, you know, I think this is what God wants." Have you ever heard that from Christians before? "Well, you know, I think this is what God wants." No, the Son knew what the Father wanted. And the Father spoke to the Son, and the Son went and he went and delivered the message to the people. Now, let's take this a step further. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God," or according to God. According to the will of God. So, here we are now. We're born again and we have the life of the Father in us. Now, just like the Father spoke to the Son, and the Son turned around and spoke to the people the will of the Father, in our situation, we come up against things and we encounter circumstances and we don't know what to do. We face maybe some things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and we're not sure how to change it. We're not sure what to do to stop doing this or start doing something else. We just don't know. And not only that, but we're not even sure how to pray about this. And so we go to the Father and we pray the best we can. And I mean with every fiber of sincerity in us, we begin praying. We say, "God, you know, I don't like this. I know you don't like it. The Bible says I shouldn't do this." Or, "Father, you know, I want to make this kind of a change in my life." Or, "Father, such and such here. But God, I tell you, I just don't know what to do. And I am just at my wit's end. I'm so frustrated, God." You know, it's like every morning I wake up and I think, "Boy, today's going to be a successful day." And then I blow it. And I feel so ashamed, Father, because you've got to be really honked off at me right about now, because I keep doing this thing over and over. Father, if I knew what to do, if I knew how to pray about this thing, I'd do it. And the Father says, "Well, that's not really a problem as far as I'm concerned. You see, that's why I sent the Holy Spirit, or at least one of the reasons. You don't know how to pray about this thing, and you don't know how to change it. You don't understand how to live this way or don't live that way or see this thing happen, whatever. But the Holy Spirit, now He knows. And Turn over to John chapter 16. And the Holy Spirit, He's going to do something really special for you. If you remember, my son said, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. Now, do you remember how that Jesus made the statement, He only spoke those things that I told Him to speak? Yeah, Father, I remember that. I just read that in the Bible. He says, well, pay close attention to what you just read there in John chapter 16, verse 13. You notice how it says that the Holy Spirit will only speak those things that He hears, just like Jesus did. Okay, yeah, I understand that. I realize that. Well, now do you remember what you just read over there in Romans chapter 8, where it tells you that the Holy Spirit, He will make intercession for you according to me, or according to my will? Yeah, I remember it said that, Father. Well, what I want you to understand is this. Just like when I spoke to Jesus, and Jesus turned around and spoke my will into the lives of people, the Holy Spirit is going to hear what I have to say about your situation. You don't know how to pray, but He does. Instead of you making intercession for yourself with words that you understand, which, as you by now have figured out, haven't done you any good whatsoever, why don't you turn this over to the Holy Spirit? And when you do, you make a decision to start praying in that language that He'll give you. And here's what's going to happen. I will tell Him what to pray on your behalf concerning this stuff in your life. It will be according to my perfect will for you. Then what He is going to do is take that prayer and pass it over to you in your spirit. Then you, from your spirit, will begin to speak forth with your mouth the words in that language of that prayer. And what you're going to be doing is the same kind of a thing that Jesus did. You'll be speaking my will into your own life. The difference will be, it will be in a language you don't understand. But because you will be praying, and remember, son, you will be the one doing the praying, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the language and the words, but you're the one that will be doing it. As you're praying that way, you're going to be praying or speaking forth my perfect will for you in your life. Now, with that in mind, let's turn someplace else. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 5. So when it comes to seeing God's will accomplished, you'll notice, first off, His will was accomplished, or His will was delivered in one thing we looked at here so far. God's will was delivered by the mouth of Jesus, correct? And Jesus spoke life into people's lives and into circumstances. Likewise, as we pray in the Holy Spirit, since the Father's will is life, as we pray in tongues, we're going to be releasing life, words of life, into wherever we need to be releasing them. You can go to God and you can say, God, I want you to help me to, quit drinking booze. And God says, well, yeah, you do need to stop doing that. However, I'm more concerned about, the way that you're watching pornography. So we're going to deal with the pornography before we deal with the booze. Well, God, why don't you just deal with both of them at the same time? Father says, well, because quite frankly, you aren't strong enough to handle both of those being dealt with at the same time. Spiritually, you're too weak to to deal with both of them at once. So I'm going to deal with the one that's causing you the most problems. And so, you know, whatever the scenario might be. So here we are. We've seen Jesus speaking life into people's circumstances. We saw circumstances change. Likewise, we see how that when we pray in tongues, again, we're speaking the will of God, life. His will into our life. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 5, look in verse 14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. In other words, it's pretty self-explanatory. God's saying, I'm going to take my words, but I'm going to put them in your mouth, and as they come out of your mouth, they're going to be, you know, like fire, and they're going to bring some change. They're going to cause things to take place. And if you look over in Ezekiel chapter 3, and in verse 17, it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So God is saying, Ezekiel, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give my word to you. Then what I want you to do is turn around and go out to the people and deliver my word to them. So what do we have? We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jeremiah. We have Ezekiel. We have four different times where God is speaking through a person. Because when you pray in tongues, God's speaking through you. See what I'm saying? It's just in a language that you don't understand. So it's the same kind of image. So there's God in heaven, and He wants His will accomplished in the lives of people, you and other people as well. But He's got a problem. The problem is this. He's in heaven, you're down here. He needs His word spoken down here. So He's got to find somebody who's willing to do this. Now let me just give you kind of a very simple illustration. Your Bible is the written form of things that God has spoken to people. God in heaven wanted us to have this book, so He spoke to a person, and that person wrote things that are in this book. And it turned out that God used a whole lot of people to do this. But they heard from God, and they wrote it down, and really, in most cases, what was written down was something that had been spoken out. They received it from God somehow, and then they spoke it verbally to where people could hear them, like you're hearing me tonight, but it was also put down in writing. Now, what's important about this is this. God's will being accomplished is always associated with the spoken word. This is extremely important to remember. It started in Genesis. And you go back to Genesis chapter 1. It began right there. God's will being accomplished in this earth is always associated with the spoken word. God wanted an earth, so He spoke. And as you start in Genesis and go through all the way to Revelation, almost every time that you see God moving, it's an association with something that has already been spoken. I mean, just think for a moment, the whole thing about Moses, the children of Israel, Egypt, Ten Commandments, all of that. Remember when God spoke to Moses? Aaron was with him too, but God spoke to Moses and He says, go tell Pharaoh. Let him go. If not, plague of frogs, plague of flies, how it went. So Moses goes in, representing God. And he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And Moses said, flies, flies, mean old Pharaoh, flies. And he turns and walks away, and sure enough, here come the flies. Frogs, mean old Pharaoh, frogs. Green, ugly, big frogs. Ribbit, ribbit. The next day, frogs. See what I'm saying? So God had somebody, and if you go through Scripture, and there are a lot of passages that we could look at to illustrate this, but on numerous occasions, God spoke to somebody, and He said, you go tell them I said. You go speak my word to this people, or my word to the king, or whatever. And so we see these kinds of things in the Old Testament. And the prophets, they were used of God in the same way. The Lord God hath said, thou hast transgressed, Israel. Judgment is coming, and blah, blah, blah. Well, they spoke it, and sure enough, it happened. You know, the Babylonian captivity was prophesied. The prophets were criticized for that, but it happened. So what I'm getting at is this. When it comes to seeing God's will accomplished, it's always going to be associated with the spoken word that's come out of a human being. Now, obviously, in Genesis, there were no human beings. So God created for the human beings. From then on, they began speaking. And speaking according to God's will. And even if you think back, remember Balaam? Remember, how many of you remember the story of Balaam? How that, what was the fellow's name? Barak or somebody like that. He wanted Balaam to speak bad things about Israel. And Balaam, he was supposed to curse them, but he stood up, and when he started to speak, man, he'd speak these blessings over Israel. And that bad king, Barak, or I think that was his name, you know, he says, what's the matter with you, Balaam? I pay you good money. You're supposed to curse them. And Balaam says, hey, listen, I can't curse them. I can't speak anything other than what God tells me to speak. And so he heard from God. And that whole thing with Balaam's a weird situation anyhow. But he spoke. God's will was to be delivered and manifest, and so he spoke. Now let's bring this forward to us. Bring it up home for us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and see some examples here. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then it goes on through. You have Enoch, and you have Abraham in here, and so many others that are listed. Well, in verse 3 where it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen are not made of things which do appear. That word worlds does not mean planets and stars and moons and universe. That word worlds comes from the Greek word eons, which means an age or a period of time. And so it says, by faith we understand that periods of time in history were framed or set in motion by the word of God. And then it says, and I'm really, you know, paraphrasing, and then it's like God says, I'll give you some examples so you can understand. By faith, Cain. By faith, Moses. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Abraham. By faith, and so it goes through all this list of all these people who got a word from God, and then turned around and began speaking that word that they had received, and it framed or it changed circumstances to bring about the will of God. Perfect example is Noah. You know, God said, Noah, the world is corrupt. You're the only righteous one in the bunch. So here's what I'm going, which is interesting. Go home and think about that for a while. Noah was the only one that was found righteous in the eyes of God, but yet his family still made it on the ark. We'll come back to that, I think, in just a little bit. So here's Noah, and he receives this word from God. And for 100 years, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So for 100 years, he's building this ark. Now, do you think he told anybody why he was doing it? I mean, what, for 100 years? Now remember, they didn't have power tools. You know, they didn't have Tim Taylor to come by and help them. You know, tool time, all right? They didn't have any of this. It's just, you know, old man Noah and his boys and the women folk. And here they are building this giant football field sized boat. Well, first off, nobody else around here had a boat. I mean, you know, we're not talking this is, you know, Lake Erie or anything. It wasn't like that back then. And you can imagine they would have come by and said, well, what are you doing, Noah? He says, well, I'm building a boat. He said, why are you doing that? God said so. Well, why did God tell you to do that? Because he's going to kill you. Excuse me, Noah. You don't want to run that one by me again? Yeah, you know, the whole world is dirty and filthy and unrighteous, and you guys are a bunch of sinners. You're bad. You're just mean. You're cruel and all that. And I'm the only good one in the whole bunch. So I'm building this ark. But you know what? I got a feeling. If you change your ways, God just might let you get on this boat with me. Ah, Noah, you're crazy. There ain't going to be no flood. Don't even know what a flood is, Noah. It's not going to happen. Said, all right. So for 100 years, this is going on. Now you can imagine that word traveled about the crazy man building the boat in the middle of dry land. How are you going to get down to the lake, Noah? Hur, 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 hur. So anyway, Noah got the word from the Lord, and he begins acting on it. He's speaking the word. He's telling, you know, what's going on. We need to build the ark like this, and this size, and this shape, and this long, this high, you know, pitch, and all this kind of stuff. And ark got built. Animals got in. Noah and his family got in. God shut the door, and rains came down, and the floods went up. Rains came down, and the floods went up. You remember the song. So he framed the entire civilized world. Well, civilized and uncivilized. I mean, he framed planet Earth by the Word of God. And over again, that's the way it was. So in Hebrews 11, it's letting us know that if we believe in the power of God's Word, we can take the Word of God, we can frame the world. Now, I taught a series on this, Framing Your World, way back when. And as far as how this applies, turn back over to Ezekiel 22. And this is really where we're headed tonight in this message. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It says, God is speaking, and God says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. All right? God is saying, I'm in heaven. I want to see some things change down there. Problem is, I'm in heaven. I'm not down there. If I were down there, I could probably work some of this out myself. But I'm up here. You're down there. So here's what I am doing. I'm up in heaven, and I'm looking. I am looking all over the place. I'm trying to find somebody who will stop long enough for me to give them my word, who will stand in the gap between me and all the junk that's going on and intercede on behalf of the transgressors. Well, the Bible says that what we read at the very beginning about Jesus interceding for the transgressors. Now, the same thing is true today. God wants intercession to take place on behalf of the transgressors. God wants everyone to be born again. But you can't be born again unless you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So here we are, Christians. And we know that outside these walls are people that are not born again and people that are backslidden, people that are messed up. I mean, they're people that are born again, but they're messed up in their theology. I mean, they believe a lot of wrong things. God wants all that changed. And you can say, well, if God wants it changed, why didn't He just change it? Well, if God wanted things changed from Genesis to Revelation, why didn't He just do it? It's because He was looking for someone to stand in the gap. He was looking for someone who would receive His word from Him and then turn around and speak that word into their own circumstances, into the circumstances and lives of the people around them, and on it goes. Because What we see in Hebrews chapter 11, framing the worlds by the Word of God, we have the ability to do the same thing. Now here's what's interesting. When you go back and you take a look at all these things, these different examples that we've looked at, and even in Hebrews chapter 11, really, you can almost just read Hebrews 11 and that'd be enough. But nevertheless, when you read through that, you don't find where God forced people to do things. They took God's word and acted on it and began to speak God's word. And as God's word went forth, it began to have an impact on what was happening around other people. Now, let me give you an example. If you go and you read the book of Jonah, remember Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. God said, go to Nineveh and tell them, I'm going to destroy the city because they're wicked. And Jonah says, I'm not going to go. And so he, you know, bought a ticket and went on a cruise. Well, the problem was, that wasn't what God wanted. Well, you know the story. He got outside of God's will and got into trouble. He's overboard. The fish swallows him. So there he is, you know, 3 days in the belly of the fish. Finally, he decides to repent. I get a kick out of that. It took him 3 days in a fish belly to finally figure out he needed to repent. I don't know. I'd like to think if that were me, I'd be repenting as he's swallowing me down. Nevertheless, he finally says, I'm sorry, God. You know, I'll do it right. And God says, okay. So here goes the fish. And it, you know, swims up to the shore and blah, it spits Jonah out. And Jonah goes walking into Nineveh. That had to be a sight. Repent, repent, or God's going to destroy this city. Repent, repent. And the Bible says that from the king on down, it says, you know, they're fasting, repenting, they're praying, the sackcloth and ashes, the whole nine yards. And God spared the city. And that made Jonah mad. He went out, sat down under a tree and complained about it. I can't believe, God, they repented it and you let them live. I can't believe. Well, you can tell where his heart was. He wanted to see some dead Ninevites. But he, now see, God's will is life. All right? You say, yeah, but all through the Old Testament, he's killing everybody. Well, you have to understand, all these people had a sin nature. God's will is life. His will is never eternal damnation. But when people harden their hearts and there's no hope, what are you going to do? God's will has always been life. We are in a position, unlike anybody in the Old Testament, to speak life in a way they couldn't. We can speak, that's because we have a nature of life. We have the ability to speak it into the lives of people, not in such a way that it causes or forces them to get born again. You're not going to force anybody to get born again, okay? But what we can do is I'll say it this way, we can change the spiritual atmosphere around them to where they become more sensitive to the will of God, see? And it's the same thing for us, for our own circumstances. If we have what seems to be dead circumstances, if we have, here, listen, you have parts of your body that seem to be dead, you can speak life to them. God's word is life. If you have a financial situation that seems to be dead, speak life to it. God's will is life. It's not just born again life, it's life more abundantly while you're here on planet Earth to fulfill what God wants you to do. Now, there in Ezekiel, he made the statement, you know, I sought for somebody to stand in the gap so that things would change. But there wasn't anybody. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Is it possible that there are circumstances happening in your life right now that would change if you would only stand in the gap for yourself and speak God's life and God's will over your circumstances? Has that ever crossed your mind whatsoever? And by the same token, is it possible that there are people that you know whose circumstances could be impacted by you standing in the gap and speaking God's words and will of life, even though you're not with them? Remember, on more than one occasion, somebody received a manifestation of healing who wasn't even in the presence of Jesus. Is it possible that since we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, same authority and so on, is it possible that we could have an effect on the circumstances surrounding people to the point to where the things that have been working against them to keep them blinded to the truth are suddenly removed? To where now they understand like they hadn't before? It happened for some of you. How many of you rejected Jesus for a long, long time? Didn't believe in Him and all this other? I guarantee you somebody, somewhere, somehow is interceding for you. Even if it was just through praying in tongues and they didn't know that they were interceding for you, somewhere, somebody, speaking God's life and will in your life. And some of you, think of it this way. You were very antagonistic toward the gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe in it. But now you do. Something happened. And it wasn't just because you woke up one morning and decided, well, you know what? I'm going to go against everything I've ever been taught. Something's happened. Something's changed. Something happened to cause you to be more receptive to maybe what you've thought hasn't been really true. And things changed in your life, see? Well, that's part of what intercession is all about. We're going to do some of that tonight. And this, we've done this before. And the reason I share like I did tonight before we get into this is because, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the more that I continue to speak to you about the power of you speaking the will and the Word of God, is the more that you're going to become more apt to do it. And the more apt you are to do it, the more you're going to do it. And the more you do it, the more you're going to see things changed. The more God's will becomes manifest in your life, and the more you begin to see circumstances be affected and impacted and begin to change. A lot of folks dismiss the power of this, but I don't, because I have seen too many things happen in my life that shouldn't have happened. In other words, in the natural, no way kind of stuff taking place because I spoke the Word of God and I didn't try to make it happen. I just kept speaking the Word of God. Began to speak and just kept just confessing His will. So we're going to do some intercession tonight. We're going to stand in the gap between a lot of people and a lot of circumstances, our own and others. So, get your lips ready. And we shall do something. There it is. Alright. Now we're going to read this together. We've read it before, but we're going to speak the Word of God. Now, the verses that are up there, if you want to write these verses down and look them up later, but what we're doing is we're paraphrasing these verses into forms of intercession. We're speaking the will of the Father, which is life. So all together now. Father, it is not Your will that any perish, but that everyone come to repentance and accept Jesus as Savior. Your will be done in heaven, or as it is in heaven. I call Grace Christian Center and the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Send laborers into the harvest fields of the lives of the people. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. The lost are being saved. Backsliders are being restored, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. The sick, afflicted, and maimed are healed and made whole. Those oppressed or possessed by demonic powers are delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in, no matter where they are or where they live or what church they currently attend. The ones who the Father wants here are coming in, and nothing hinders them. The children of my family and this church shall not be the prey of or taken captive by the enemy or give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. They are His children and they call Him their God. Their heart is tender toward Him and they serve, fear, and respect Him forever and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the cry of their heart is, "Come with us and go deeper into God. Let us never forget that He is our Father and we are His children." I know your grace, Lord Jesus, that though you were rich, yet for my sake you became poor, that I, through your poverty, might be rich. God makes all grace abound toward me, and I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The people of this church are a prosperous and giving people. They are all obedient to the Lord and give what they are supposed to give. They do not hold back. Exceeding abundance comes in every week. Grace Ministries has all the lands, buildings, furnishings, equipment, supplies, and finances necessary to fulfill the works and the will of the Father. God is sending in every willing, skillful worker for every area of ministry in this church. The people of this church are praisers and they are worshipers. They praise and worship God in song, on instruments, in dance, and with uplifted hands. They are not shy, self-conscious, or hindered by pride and religious traditions. They sing in the Spirit and with the understanding. We worship the Lord as one. His glory fills this place like a cloud. The people of this church are praying people. They redeem their time and use it wisely. They spend time in fellowship with God, praying in the Spirit and with the understanding. They are edified and built up on their most holy faith. The people of this church are fasting people. They fast and tear down strongholds of the flesh. The people of this church are word people. They meditate in God's word day and night and live by every word that comes from God. The people of this church are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They are clothed in the whole armor of God and wage victorious warfare against the enemy. Every principality, power, ruler of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, tradition of man, imagination, and high thing that would try to hinder any of these things happening or exalt itself against the knowledge of God is cast down, brought into captivity, and defeated. Nothing shall stand in the way of the works and the will of the Father being completed. Angels, you are dispatched and empowered to go forth and create atmospheres conducive for all of these things to happen. Father, your word has gone forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish your will and prosper as it has been sent. Please add your anointing and power to these things. May Jesus be glorified and you glorified in Him as these things are accomplished and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, by faith, we call all of these things a completed work. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now why don't you stand and begin to worship God for the fact that His Word is working now. In the realm of the Spirit, His Word is at work and it is affecting circumstances. It's changing things. Lost people, even right now, this very moment, are sensing His presence in a way that they haven't sensed it before. People that are backsliders are sensing His presence and drawing in a way that they haven't sensed it before. We have come against the enemy tonight, speaking His Word. And Father, I praise You. Your Word is accomplishing great things even now. Father, we've spoken Your will. We've spoken Your truth. We've spoken the power of Your Word forth. And Father, we know that it's working. We know that it's having an impact. Father, we know that our family members are being changed, Father, because they're sensing Your presence and they're yielding to Your perfect will. Father, we thank You for revival, not just in this place, but in our homes, in our families. We thank You, Father, for Your peace flooding our homes and flooding our circumstances. We thank You, Father, that we are delivered from the hand of the enemy. We praise You, Jesus. We glorify You, Father. We worship You and we honor You. Father, we just glorify You. Father, we thank You that You now are moving on behalf of Your Word, that we have released Your Word that You've given to us, and it's going forth and accomplishing Your will. Father, we thank You that You stand behind Your Word, and Your Word is guaranteed by Your perfectness and by Your holiness. And Father, it will accomplish these things. And Father, I just pray that we become more sensitive to the fact that Your Word and Your will can be spoken and we can see things change. Father, may we be motivated that when we do speak, that we speak life into situations that seem dead. We speak your will into these things, Father, and that these things change. And we will, Father, we will inherit these promises. Father, I speak encouragement to all of us. Encouragement to continue to speak forth your word and your will and to not get discouraged. But Father, in this patience, we are going to see your will accomplished as we are continually patient and continually doing these things, Father. We're going to see it happen. We're going to see it take place. We're going to see it manifest. Father, we give you glory and honor, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Father, that we have this ability to affect circumstances by speaking your word forth. We rejoice, Father, in the victories that have been established tonight, Father, by the power of your word. We rejoice, Father, in these things. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if you'd like prayer for anything, I want you to come on up and we'll pray for you. But I want to encourage you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what you feel like about it. Keep speaking God's will and God's word. Keep speaking because that's what He stands behind. Continue to intercede like this. Don't give up just because you don't see a change overnight. Don't remember, we've been talking about Jericho. It wasn't until the seventh day and the seventh lap on the seventh day that those walls came down. So I'm sure somebody in that group probably got a little frustrated maybe along day five or day six, or maybe right along lap number six on the seventh day. But they did what God said to do. They acted upon His word, and it happened. Same thing is true for us. Keep speaking God's life into the circumstances. You won't change the will of a person, but man, can you ever impact what's happening around them in the realm of the Spirit? And listen, some of you can testify how that somebody you've been interceding for and maybe speaking God's word over, and you just haven't seen anything of it, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call out of the clear blue that they've given their heart to Jesus, that they're born again. Intercession does this, folks. Intercession does this. And even if, worst case scenario, somebody goes to their grave never having accepted Jesus, if we intercede for them like this, somewhere along the line, they've heard His voice. Somewhere along the line, they've heard Him calling. Somewhere. So please be encouraged by this. Please be encouraged. Keep speaking the will of the Father into everything about your life, and you're going to begin to see these things come to pass.